Avinu lehaskil, avinu l'acharachama, amirachem rachem aleinu, v'sei milibeinu vina, avinu lehaskil.
So what does that mean? It means when someone gets married, they don't have to attend their wedding. They could stay home and appoint someone else to attend the wedding. Ish mekadesh bo v'shlucho. That we know that that the Mishnah says in the first Mishnah, that's in the Masechta. First Mishnah in the Masechta says that Ish niknes b'shlosha derachim. The three ways of doing kiddushin. Right? What are the three ways? Niknes b'kesef b'shtar b'bia. The three ways of doing kiddushin. One is kesef. One is giving money to the woman. And our minhag is that we give shava kesef. In Sephardic communities, they actually give coin, right? But in Ashkenazic communities, they don't give the actual coin. They give a ring, which is worth a pruta, right? It's worth a pruta, and that's the kesef kiddushin. That's one way you could do kiddushin. The second way is a shtar, of writing out a shtar that says the man writes to the woman that I'm mekadesh you, b'shtar zu, and then he hands it over, the document, to the woman. And bia is cohabiting together. So these are three ways of doing kiddushin. B'zman hazeh, we only do the first way. We only do kesef. In other words, again, In other words, to create the kedusha. In other words, shtar, we don't have a shtar kedusha today. I don't know anyone. The ksuba is not a shtar kedusha. The ksuba is a shtar about the chiyuvim that the husband has to the wife, but that's not what creates the marriage. When does the what's creating the marriage? Creating the marriage is when the husband either gives the wife the kesef or gives the wife the shtar or does the bia. L'shem creating the marriage. So those are three ways you can do it. So we only do kesef. That's the only way we do. In other words, the bia is the bia once the marriage already took place, then the bia is just living together. But that's not what created the marriage. That's not what created the kedusha. The kedusha was created already by the kesef. So when the Mishnah speaks about the three ways of having kedusha, the Mishnah is saying these are three ways to create the initial marriage. So it used to be that they would choose one of the three ways. They would either decide that he would give his wife some kesef, money, or something that had the value of money, and he would give it to her in front of two witnesses, and say, before he gives it to her, he would say, Hareyat mekudeshes li bekesef zu, and give it to her, right? That's one way. Or he would have a shtar written out, and he would give it to her in front of two witnesses. Or they would do bia, and obviously it's not going to be done in front of two witnesses, but they would tell the two witnesses that we're now going into this room to make the marriage, and that would be good enough, even though the witnesses are not following them in the room. But they know, since they said that's what's going to happen, and they went in together, so that's enough of evidence that's true. So the Chiddush in our Mishnah is that you can be Mekadesh a woman in these three ways, so you don't have to be the one, you can appoint a shliach. You don't have to be the one giving over the kesef. You can decide, I'm not coming to my wedding. I'm going to appoint a shliach. And he'll give over the kesef. And he'll give over the kesef on my behalf. Or the shtar. Obviously, bia is not something that is nitam for shlichus. Because the kiddushei bia, like Rav Shechter explained, is that they're creating the ishus through having ishus together that creates the ishus. So that's something that's a dover shebegufo. We'll see. One of the klalim of shlichus is that if it's something that you have to do with your own body, right? Like, for example, the discussion tefillin, lulav. I can't say, okay, I don't have time to put on tefillin today. You put it on for me. That doesn't work because it's a mitzvah begufo. It has to be on my body. I have to take the lulav with my hand. So bia is something that has to be, it's not nitan for shlichus. That's something that has to be done by the person himself. So therefore, so bia is not nitan for shlichus. But the first two, kesef and shtar, can be done through a shlich. And you don't have to, you don't have to do it yourself. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. Ha'ish mekadesh bo uvishlucho. And the second part of the Mishnah is Ha'isha miskadeshes bo uvishlucho. The second part of the Mishnah is that a woman also, she has to receive the kesef, right? She has to receive the shtar. So the chiddush is she can do it herself. Or can she say, no, I don't have time to come to the wedding. I'll get someone else to receive the ring under the chuppah. I'll appoint my friend. She'll go to the wedding and she'll receive the ring. I have something else to do. So the Mishnah is telling us that she could also appoint a shliach. Yeah. What? Another thing I forgot to tell, this shiur is not a lecture, so you should feel free to participate and to ask. And okay, go.
Could it be anyone?
Could it be anyone?
Yeah,
a Jewish person.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mustami, even she can appoint a man to receive the ring on her behalf. Right? As long as he's Jewish. Right? And Lachari, he can appoint a woman too. Right? As long as she's Jewish. Yeah. Oh, so Lachara, this Mishnah needs to be analyzed. I mean, what's the Chiddush? The Mishnah repeats it twice. Ha'ish mekadesh bo v'shlucha. Ha'ish mekadesh is bo v'shlucha. So let me ask you a question. Once you tell me ha'ish mekadesh bo v'shlucha, why is it necessary to tell me ha'ish mekadesh is bo v'shlucha? Won't I know that? If you say ha'ish mekadesh bo v'shlucha, so it means the man can make a shliach. So would there be a svara to think that maybe only the man and not the woman? In other words, the Mishnah says Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo V'Shlucho, and then it tells us equal rights. A woman also can make a shliach. What's the chiddush? Is there, in other words, obviously if the Mishnah is going to say it, there must be a reason why I would think that maybe only the man could do it, not the woman. Right? Menachem? In other words, you might think that shlichus is only by the man because he's the active participant. She's more passive. So maybe you're saying that since she's more passive, so maybe what? Maybe maybe she can't appoint a shliach. Okay. That's not a bad pshat. Right? Anyone want to say any other possibility? Yeah. One is giving and one is receiving. That's true. They're two different acts. One is giving, one is receiving. But once we know that giving, you don't have to do it yourself. So you would have thought maybe receiving is... Let me ask you a question. If I would tell you shlichus only works by one of them, by the man or the woman, which one would you think is more of a svara that shlichus should work? By the man or the woman? Okay. You would say that it's a big chiddush that works by the man, because he has to do something. The woman doesn't have to do something. So you hear what Kersh is saying? Kersh thinks it's a bigger chiddush to. Do you agree with him? Schwechter disagrees.
I think that when the man is sending his shaliach to be mekadesh someone, then like everyone knows that. I mean, the action is being sent via the man, via the shaliach. Once the woman has to accept it, if she sends a shaliach, we're not exactly sure if she was makabel it. Like, everyone knows, he wants to marry her, he wants to be makadesh her. Then if there's a shaliach, it's kind of questionable, because the whole question is she being makabel it? Is she being makabel? Not is the shaliach being makabel. There's no question as to what...
So she'll decide. When the shliach knocks on her door and says, I have a ring here, this guy wants to marry you, so she'll either say, get lost, or come right in. Yes?
And you can say that the second line of the Mishnah, right, about the woman, it's not, like, of course she can do a shliach, we know that from the first line.
Right.
Maybe the fact that it comes to tell us that she can do it, is that the finish is that you can have a shliach to a shliach, that they can both use a shliach at the same time. Now, like, both people don't have to be involved, and they can still get married.
Oh, in other words, Yossi's saying that maybe there would be a havamina to say. There was Yossi saying an interesting chiddush here. Yossi's saying the chiddush of Aisha miskadeshes is even in a situation where the man did it al yidei shliach, the woman could also do it al yidei shliach. Well, you would think maybe.
Well, if you would have just said the man, so you know that he could send shliach, you wouldn't have no way of knowing that she can receive the shliach.
Mm-hmm. The question is, do you really know that from the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says she can make a shliach, but maybe you could say that's only if when he didn't make a shliach. You're saying the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush that they could both make a shliach. There was neither the two people that are under the chuppah, the chassan's not really the chassan, and the kala is really not the kala. Very interesting. And they're still married, meaning these two other people who are, who knows where they are. They're at in the Huppetsville, and they're ones that halachically are getting married by two other people giving a ring one to the other. Which is true also. I don't know if necessarily you see that clearly from the Mishnah. I mean, as in other words, it's right. In other words, Aish Mekadesh Bo B'Shlucho, even, and Aish Mekadesh Bo B'Shlucho, and the assumption is, in all cases, right? In all cases, in other words, even when the man decided to make a shliach, the woman also could make a shliach. So you could have neither party who gave the ring over make a be the two shluchim and be the, so neither part under the chuppah there is the chassan or kala. The chassan somewhere in Wyoming and the kala is in Kentucky, and they both made shluchim, and then they put, those two shluchim come to the wedding in Williamsburg, and Shalom Yisrael. Daniel, right.
So when we see over here that a woman can be in Kaddish even with a shliach, so then it's something that gets
Again. In other words, we know it says that darker shalish, right.
Looking for a woman.
Right. Oh, so you're saying if she makes a shliach, it's a little bit different than what the original intent is. Okay, we're going to see, mostly there's going to be a famous Tosas HaRosh that we're going to get to, that's going to discuss also this. Let me ask you another question. We're going to have a whole packet on this, but just a preview, get your opinion on this matter. Of obviously, at a wedding, you need Eidei Kedushin. Right? You need Eidei Kedushin at the wedding. Right? At the wedding, they call up the Eidei Kedushin and they watch the giving of the ring. Right? You've been at weddings and that's, you always call up the Eidei Kedushin. You need, right? In other words, the Eidei Kedushin are the very important part of the wedding. Right? Because you need the Eidim to see the giving of the ring. So the question is, when the man makes a shliach, or the woman makes a shliach. Now, they made a shliach a week before the wedding, right? The guy says, I don't want to come to the wedding, you be my shliach, so I'm going to appoint you as a shliach. Does that have to be done in front of witnesses? Or no?
The appointment.
In other words, the actual giving over of the kesef kedushin, that what? That clearly has to be done al yidei shliach. Right, that's the famous kasha. Who was the Eidei Kedushin by the wedding of Adam and Chava? Right? We'll talk about this guy. It's a very important kasha. Right?
Who was the Eidei Kedushin by Adam and Chava? Right? Right? You weren't at the wedding. But the wedding. Adam and Chava. So who was the Eidei Kedushin? We'll talk about that. That's a big shy. That's wrong. So we're not up to there yet. But so you need Eidim to Eidei Kedushin. And that's, we've discussed in the past that So the big question is the people that are called up under the chuppah are not kosher.
It's a chumrah anyway.
Right. Well, what is a chumrah? What's a chumrah? To have Aiden?
To have, to know, to be accepted.
Right. In other words,
the Aiden can you do?
Right. So we've discussed many times that Chassam Sofer writes that even though the people you call up are, say, we're not good Aiden, so as long as there are two people in the audience that are Shomer Shabbos, not related to each other, let's call it a kala, then it's a good wedding. Right? Because we hold also that Yediyah is Korea. Yediyah is Korea. In other words, if you see two guys are sitting in the back row at the chuppah. So they saw Chassan march down and Akal march down, but they didn't see the beginning of the ring. They were in the back row and they were schmoozing about the Yankee game the whole time. So, but they know that they know they were at a Reading. They know that a rabbi was called up with a long white beard to perform, and they know that a guy marched down and there's somebody, a girl in a white dress who marched down. So, and they know the rabbi is a religious with a long white beard. He was called up, so they can't also say the kedushin according to the chassam sofer. But the other Machado Shah is different, because there you didn't even have any AD here, because they were going around. So that's, yeah.
So shouldn't the AD answer the question about the sleeping?
Oh, so my question is, and then we're going to have a whole shiur on this, I'm just whetting your appetite a little bit now, is do you need Adim when the husband-to-be appoints his shliach, or the kala, or the wife to be appoints her shliach, does she have to have Aiden there at the time of the appointment or not?
How do you need them? You don't really have appointing a shliach. For actual marriage, you need them.
Well, what?
For the actual marriage, you need the Aiden for appointing a shliach.
You say no.
Yeah.
You say no. Harav Newman?
I'm saying no because of the Yidei Kriyas. If it works, the Yidei Kriyas is reliable when the people there who, you know, don't even see what's going on, then why should, you know, if the Yidei Kriyas by the Shlichim, you know, they don't necessarily see the, you know, the Chassan and Kala getting married, but they, you know, they know what the Shlichim, they know what the Shlichim are, so why do they need to be there?
Well, let me ask you a question. If there are no Adim, so why can't just someone show up one day and say, I'm somebody's shliach?
So the whole point of Adim is that one they're able to prove that this certain event happened. If you want someone to say that this event happened, or he appointed this guy as shliach, then anyone can come and say it.
Right.
You know, obviously.
Okay, Rabbi, I don't want to spend too much time on this topic. We're going to have a whole packet on this issue. It's an important issue. It's important in general, when do you need Aiden and when don't you need Aiden. And then we've talked many times in the past, the famous machlokes between Moshe Feinstein and her painting, right, about whether civil marriages are halachic marriages or not. Everyone, we all agree you should have a Jewish marriage, but say that two people didn't have a Jewish marriage, they just had a civil marriage. So is that halachically binding or not? Even if the judge was a goy, is that halachically binding? Doesn't matter because he's not going to give any. He's not giving anything at the. What do you mean, a judge? You come, two people come to the scene and they.
Even if the judge is not.
Right. So that even if the judge is what?
Even if the judge is a Jew, it's
not. Yeah. Right. So what's the svara that it could be good? He didn't give in a civil marriage. You don't give over a ring in front of two witnesses. It's the idea that the third way of bia, that the fact that they're living together, maybe that's considered that's kiddushe bia. But
but that has to be in front of Edom, which obviously there are no Edom there, but the question is the knowledge of the community that these people are husband and wife, maybe that's good enough to make to say that that's a good marriage. And it's a very important question, because sometimes people have a civil marriage and then they broke up and they never got a get. So the question is, do they really need a get or not? And Rav Moshe was the opinion that they don't. And Rav Henkin held they do. So this is a big issue, but not for now. Yeah. Okay. So again, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo V'Shlucho, Rashi, B'Gemar Yoliflo. In other words, what is Rashi saying, B'Gemar Yoliflo? Meaning, it's not a... What does Rashi mean to say, B'Gemar Yoliflo? What Rashi means to say is that it's not a Svara, Shlichus. Whereas you would think maybe it's a Svara. So Rashi means to say, B'Gemar Yoliflo, that you need a Pasuk to tell me this. It's not a Svara that Shlichus could work. Because you would think, if you're getting married, if you're not the one giving the ring, then no good. Or if you're the woman and you're not the one receiving the ring, no good. So you need it's a chiddush, a gzeiras hakasuv that the Gemara is going to have to teach us that that's this so. And that's what it means, b'gemar yoliflo. It means the Gemara is going to learn it out. Meaning what? It's not a svara. Because we know there's a principle, lama likras svaru. That if something is a svara, you don't need a pasuk. But that's what Rashi is coming to teach us. B'gemar yoliflo. That you need to learn it out. Yolif means to learn it out. B'gemar yoliflo. Okay, so let's continue. Ha'ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho. Ha'ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho. Ha'ish mekadesh es bito k'shi nara bo b'shlucho. That there is a halacha that a father can marry off his daughter. Now, marry off your daughter doesn't mean in colloquial, thing. Oh, I married off my son. I married off my daughter. That's not. That's just colloquial speech. Marry off means that the father could be the one. In other words, the two men under the chuppah. There's the chassan. And then the father representing his daughter. So he could represent his daughter. Because it's not pshat. Well, there's a discussion in the Gemara, but Pasuk pshat is that he's a built-in, in other words, he owns his daughter in respect to marriage. So he is his daughter. How old? Can you do this? Still 12 and a half. Once a girl is 12 and a half, independent. Then what?
Bulgaris.
She's a Bulgaris. What's the halakhic terminology for that? For a Bulgaris? What?
Gedola.
Gedola at 12. Bulgaris 12 and a half.
Isha.
What?
Isha.
Isha? Isha only at 12 and a half? Isha at... when you're born, she's an Isha. You know what it's called? Listen to these three words. Yisoma v'chaye avina. An orphan in the life of a father. Normally an orphan means the father is not one who is not alive. You know, this person is an orphan. This is called a halachic orphan. A halachic orphan. A yisoma v'chaye avina. So as much as she's a Bulgaria, she's 12 and a half, since she's no longer in the jurisdiction of her father, so the halakhic terminology for such a person is a yisoma b'chaye yavina. Well, she's a yisoma,
She's not Yitzchok, she has a father. But since she's 12 and a half, and she's no longer in the jurisdiction of her father, so we call her a Yisoma B'chayavir. It's an oxymoron, it's a stira. What do you mean, B'chayavir? She's a Yisoma B'chayavir, means because she's 12 and a half, so she's in her own Rishus, even though her father's alive. So we call her like she's a Yisoma. A real Yisoma is when the father's dead. A Bulgaris, halakhically, is what? A Yisoma B'chayavir. That's the phrase. Yisoma B'chayavir. But till then, when she's a Tana or an Ara, up to 12 and a half, she's still what? Rishus Savia. So therefore, the father could be the one who accepts the Kiddushin on her behalf. Not only that, the father is the Bailam of her Kiddushin, so he can appoint the Shliach, because he's like her. He represents his daughter. So now, if he decides he doesn't want to come to the wedding, he could send someone else, because he has the reshus over his daughter's kedushin, so he could accept the kedushin on her behalf. In other words, he made up with somebody that they're going to marry the someone is going to give him kesef kedushin to marry his daughter, so they can either give it to the father or the father shliach, because he's like the daughter. So that's an interesting, but once she's a Bulgaris, no longer. What is she called? Soma Chayavir. An interesting concept, right? Because really, Soma is what? Right? Somebody doesn't have a father, she's Soma. What difference? An interesting idea you should know. Is there when you write a ksuba? So one thing you have to know when you write a ksuba, you have to know a lot of things. You have to know what the names of the chassan are, and the names of the kala, and the place, right? But you know what other thing you have to know? Right, sorry, it's a psula, not a psula, but is the Kala's father alive or not? Because if the Kala's father is alive, then you write Nibei Avuha. She's coming from the house of her father. Aleph Bei's Vavhei. Bei Avuha. But if the father is not alive, so then, I was just recently at a wedding where the father was not alive. So they, what do they say? Not Nibei Avuha, but Nibei Nosha. Nun Shin Aleph. Nosha. Nasha, what does Nasha mean? Kinashan Yelokin. What does Nashani mean? Forgotten. Meaning she's coming from the forgotten home. Because she already was not in her father's home because he already passed away. So the Sadr Kedushin always has to ask at the wedding, or before, when he's filling out the Ksuba, is the Kala's father alive? Is this his real father? Is he alive? If he's alive, then you're right. But she's coming, Mibay Avuah. She's coming from her father's house. If the father's not alive,
then you write Nosha, Mibei Nosha. She's coming from the forgotten home. Nun Shin Aleph. Like the Loshon Menashe, Ki Nashami Elokim. But, so that's what the Mishnah is saying over here. Ha'ish Mekadish is Bitok Shehi Nara. And obviously the question that we have to understand is, why does the Mishnah say Nara? L'chora Ketana also. Certainly he can be Mekadesh. Ever Rambam? Ishus? Ishus, yes? Right? Good. Right, so the Mishnah Chora is a little tricky, right? Because Lachora, if he can be Mekadisha when she's a Nara, certainly he should be able to be Mekadish her when she's a Ketana. So why does the Mishnah only mention Anara? So again, once she's a Bogeres, they're not. Because once she's a Bogeres, what is she? She's what? A Yisoma Bechayavia. There's one other example, Rabosai, of this concept of Yisoma Bechayavia, which we'll talk about in a future date. Maybe I'll explain it to you now. I think it's a good... Do you know this? Another example of Yisoma Bechayavia? Yeah.
Isn't there something with Anar who gets married, but then, or Katana who gets married, but then from by her father, and then she gets divorced by that same man, then her father can't marry her off again?
So what do you mean? You're on the right track. Just explain it to me a little bit more so we'll understand it.
Well, right, so our example was when a Bogeres is also considered a servant of Chayavia because that she's, even though her father's alive, she's not under his mishus anymore.
Right. Right.
So the same thing with Anara, except that she gets to the stage of not being under his mishus a little earlier because she was already married off by her father. So when she gets divorced by this man, her father doesn't have mishus to marry off again.
Okay, very good. Very good. What's your name?
I'm Chaim Berkowitz.
Oh. So I want to explain what Chaim said. Chaim said very well, but I just want to say it even more, okay? So let me tell you what Chaim just said. That there are two steps in marriage. There's Erusin and there's Nisuin. Erusin is the same thing as Kiddushin. What is the definition of Erusin? When he gives over the ring, and he says, Harei Mekudeshesli, that's the Erusin. That's the Erusin. From that time on, they're halachically married, and in Chas V'Sholom, they want to break up. From that time on, you need a get. You need a get. That is what's called the Kiddushin, the Erusin. However, there's another step called the Nisuin. Called the Nisuin. That's once you already gave the ring, now in the Nisuin, and the way Rav Shecht always formulates it is that Erusin is an Eishes Ish Shalo Bebeis Habal, and the Nisuin is Bebeis Habal. In other words, it used to be in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the man would give the woman a ring in front of two Edom, and then they would wait a year to get ready. And then a year later, they'd come back and they would have what's called a chuppah, and then they would live together. Today, we do it all at once. So Erusin is when you give over the ring, you say, Arei Mekudeshesli, right? But she's still an Eishes Ish Shalo Bebeis Habal. She's not in her husband's home yet. Once the Nisuin is done, then she becomes an Eishes Ish Bebeis Habal. What's the difference when you're an Eishes Ish Bebeis Habal or you're an Eishes Ish Shalo Bebeis Habal? What difference does that make? An Eishes Ish, well, we know both Arus is also an Eishes Ish, but she's not yet living with her husband yet. She's not in her husband's domain, so she's just an Arusa. Once she's in her husband's domain, then what? Then she's in a sewer. So how do you... We know that the din is liyarsha, latamela, ulahafer nedareha. In other words, if she would die, he inherits her. But that's only if they did the nesuin process. The nesuin or if he's a kohen, he's matame to her. But that's only if they did the nesuin process. If she took a neder, he could mefer the neder. But that's only if they did what? The nesuin process. Now, what is the nesuin process? So different opinions. Some say it's the chuppah. Some say it's the yichud room. Some say it's when he takes her home. Some say it's the bia. But that's called nisuin. Now, if a girl, say like you said, was a ketana or a nara, and she just had erusin, and she didn't have nisuin, and then they decided to break up. So he gives a get, then she's back in her father's jurisdiction. But say she's a ketana or a nara that had the erusin and had the nisuin, and now they broke up. So she's still a ketana, but she's no longer goes back to her what? To her father's jurisdiction. Because once she had nisuin, that added step of nisuin, she's no longer in her father's rishus. And what is she called? Yisoma b'chayavir. So we have two examples of the yisoma b'chayavir. Namely what? A bogeris. Once she's 12 and a half, she's yisoma b'chayavir. He can't marry her off anymore. Again, marrying off means he can't be the one accepting the kesef kedushin from the husband. And once she's in a sua and she got divorced, now she's coming back to live with her father, but halakhically she's not in her father. Halakhically she's a yisoma, even though her father could be alive and well. But that's called what? A yisoma b'chayavir. So we have two examples of this principle of yisoma b'chayavir. One is what? Bogeris. And one is what? Once she was a nesua. Not an arusa. A nesua. You need that added step. You need that added step of nesua. And again, there's different opinions in the Rishonim and the Poskim. How do you get that added step of nesua? Is it, the old way of doing nesua was the putting the talis over each other. Without the canopy. The canopy was a much later invention. I haven't discussed this years past. The old way of doing it was just the palace, without the canopy. Then, somehow, they forgot about the palace, at least the Ashkenazim forgot about the palace, and they just had the canopy. And,
not just a little bit
of that, no? Both.
Right, is it the club?
Both. But it's very rare to see just the palace. That's. And that used to be the minute for probably 1,000 years. But somehow, that got, that, at least the Svarnim at least keep, or the Yekis and some, keep, at least keep that part. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, whose Rambam is this? We'll use it a different time. Okay. Okay. So again, the question that has to be raised in the Mishnah is, so let's see Rashi, Kshinara, Bekol Shekein Kshiktana. Right? Which we said, of course, if you're Nara and you're in Rishus of the Father, so certainly when you're Ktana. In Kibel Kedushim Mekudeshes. If I did not Nara, Orach Ara, Shmin, and the Ktana, Tachila, Lokin, Farsh, Begmar. In other words, Rashi's saying, well, he's going to explain the Gemara. That, why does it say Nara? Because that was the normal thing. You marry off your girl when she's a Nara. You don't usually marry off your 8-year-old daughter. But when she's 12, at least in those times, that was common to get married at that point. So therefore, so the Mishnah is not saying halachically he can't do it when she's a Nara. I'm going to show you there's a Rambam. We'll show it to you one day, that discusses what if she's pregnant. Can you marry off the girl when she's could the father marry off his daughter when his wife is pregnant, when she's still a fetus? In other words, you can't marry off a begaris, she's too old. A nara, yes. A ketana, yes. What about an uber? Well,
it's a daughter.
So if it won't be a daughter, then it won't be a good wedding. But if it'll be a daughter, so then right in the Hanami. Today we could tell, but then they couldn't tell. But so if it'll turn out the right gender, so fine. If not, try another one. Yeah. Yeah, so Amitai is asking, can the father marry off the girl Bal Korcha? Yeah? Yeah?
What about the twins in there?
What about girls? Oh. That's a good one. So we'll see. I'll show it to you one day. The Rambam holds that once the woman is pregnant, and it's nikar that she's pregnant, they could even have marriage on an Uber. That's one of the rayas, but... Well, that's brought that an Uber is considered a human being, and if you kill an Uber, that's Ritzicha. One of the rayas that's brought is from this Rambam. I'll show it to you one day inside, that the Rambam says that you can marry an Uber. So obviously you can only marry a human being, right? You can't marry me and the pole, right? You have to marry a human being, right? So by the fact that the Rambam says, remind me to show it to you inside. I'll show it to you inside. By the fact that the Rambam says you can marry an Uber once it's noticeable that she's pregnant, so there's you can even marry an Uber, so then must be that an Uber is a human being, and therefore if you kill an Uber, that's Ritzicha. It's just that you're not Chayiv Misa for doing it. In other words, if a non-Jew kills an Uber, they're Chayiv Misa. If a Jew kills an Uber, they're not chayiv misa, but it doesn't mean they're not a rotzeich. They're a rotzeich who's not chayiv misa. Normally, rotzeich is chayiv misa. This type of rotzeich, you're not chayiv misa, but it's still rotzeich. I mean, that's Rav Moshe's opinion. That so I think this is one a good raya. A couple of years ago, we gave a whole packet on abortion, and so that's one of the. Stadim of discussing abortion is this idea.
Is it that you're marrying Uber, or is it that you're marrying Uber when it comes? Say, I'm going to marry Uber when it comes to you. Are you marrying the actual Uber?
It's Chal Ven.
It's Chal Ven.
It's Kedushin.
Erisin?
No, Erisin. You can't have Harrison with a stick either. You have to have Harrison with a human being. So it must be that an Uber is a human being. We'll see. We'll talk more. Okay. Oh. So the Gemara says. Hashta b'shlucho mekadesh bo mi bayi. In other words, the Gemara is bothered. If you want to tell me the chiddush of shlichus, so just say ish mekadesh b'shlucho. Why do you have to say bo? Of course, if shlichus is good, you can do it yourself. Because why did the, and we know the Mishnah was so telegraphic, right? That's always our assumption. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he wrote the Mishnah, he was very bekitzer. Right? If he could say something in three words, he won't say it in five words. You know, and this is, if you want to see Rav Huttner's first piece in the Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah, he discusses that that even though Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a heter to write down the Mishnah, because people would forget it, but still he wanted to keep it Torah Shebal Peh. So that's why he purposely kept it like vague, so it wouldn't be self-explanatory, so it would still be a necessity for an oral tradition to how to explain it. That's how Rav Huttner explains why this, if you learned the concept of Chasuri Mechsera, sometimes the Gemara will say that a whole phrase is missing from the Mishnah. Now, isn't that poor editing by Rav Yehuda Hanasi? He left out a whole phrase? No, he did it purposely, Rav Huttner explains. Because he wanted to keep, so even though they had to write down Torah Shebal Peh, he still wanted to keep it that it should be Bal Peh. He still wanted to keep it so that there'll still be a necessity to have an oral tradition of what it merely means. So that's why the Mishnah is kept. So that's the question over here. Hashka b'shlucho mekadesh. So bo mibay, doesn't it go without saying that it's, no, with bo mibay, do you need to tell me bo? That he can do it himself? Of course. So the Mishnah should have just written, ha'ish mekadish b'shlucho. Ha'ish mekadish b'shlucho. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo, yosef mi b'shlucho. So what the Mishnah wants to teach us, says the Gemara, it wants to, doesn't want to just teach us the concept that shlichus works. It wants to teach us that shlichus works, but still, it's preferable to do it yourself. So that's what it means. Bo, that's the preferable way. And if you can't, b'shlucho. Now why? Says Rashi, mitzvah bo yosef mi shlucho, dechi asik gufo b'mitzvah, Mimitzvos mekabel schartfei. What's the svara? Rashi gives a svara. What's Rashi's svara? That from tzara agra, whatever you do, more toil, you get, excuse me, more reward for. Whatever you do more toil for, you get more reward. So that's the concept over here. That's the concept over here. That's why mitzvah bo yosef mi b'shlucho. Because if you're doing it with your own body, you're going and doing the mitzvah yourself. You toiled, so you get more schar. So in a chanami, you didn't have to do it yourself. You could have just picked up the phone and say to your friend, "Hey, you go and do it. You go to the wedding and give my wife to be the ring." But still, if you do something, an action with your own body, that's considered more chashuv. And that's why it's a bigger mitzvah. You get more schar when you do it bo yosef mimishluch. And then the Gemara gives illustrations. Ki had Rav Safra machrich resha. That Rav Safra, when they would prepare for Shabbos, machrich resha, says Rashi, lechovet Shabbos. Resha means he would take the, resha means rosh. He would char the head of the, you know, put the head of the fish in the fire to make it cook for Shabbos. Rava malach shibuta. He would what? He would salt the shibuta, Rashi. Dag. He would salt the fish. Meaning, these Amoraim would do it themselves. They themselves wanted to be involved in the mitzvah. So therefore they would do it themselves. So the Gemara is illustrating, why did they do it themselves? Because mitzvah bo yosef mi b'shlucho, they could have said their wives, you cook the meat, you do the this. But they wanted to do some physical action themselves. Okay. Let's see Tosis. Oh, well, before we get to Tosis, another very important issue which we'll have a whole shiur on just to get your thought processes. What's this idea of Ish Mekadesh Bo B'Shlucho? So we said, it's to tell us the Chiddush. First of all, we're telling us the Chiddush of Shlichus. Right, that's one chiddush in the Mishnah. But then to tell us another chiddush that it's shlichus works, but it's better to do it yourself, because whatever you have a mitzvah, it's better to do the mitzvah yourself, because you put your body into the mitzvah, you toil more, you get more schar. Question: are these two cases parallel? The case of cooking for Shabbos in the case of getting married? What's the mitzvah of cooking for Shabbos? Kavod Shabbos, right? Kavod Shabbos. And what's the mitzvah of getting married? Peruvu? That's a big discussion. We're going to have a whole packet on this. What is the mitzvah of getting married? Is there a mitzvah of getting married per se? Or is marriage just a way of to lead up to Puruvu. That's right. That's a big question. Is there a mitzvah of kiddushin irrespective of Puruvu? Say some people, an older couple, right? So is there a mitzvah to get married when they're both 90 years old? That's a mitzvah? Well, no. If they want, they can get married, but it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is only to lead up to Puruvu. So that has to be... Yeah, Chaim, you said?
Yeah. No, so you're saying that they should be comparable because one is Hechsher, we're saying that the Kiddushin should be a
Maybe Kiddush is Kiddush and a Hechsher mitzvah, and this is
the Kovar Shabbos.
Kovar Shabbos is the mitzvah itself.
Is Kovar Shabbos the mitzvah itself?
Well, we'll
Shabbos.
What?
On Erev Shabbos. Shabbos.
Yeah, well, the Rambam has the idea that there's Onik Shabbos, on Shabbos, and Kovar is before Shabbos. So, you want to say, maybe you could say that. That anything you do before Shabbos is also a Hechsher mitzvah for Shabbos. In other words, the real mitzvah is the eating the fish, and this is just the getting it ready. Right? You could say that, and then it would be a direct comparison. Right? If you say that the mitzvah is only eating the fish, and the mitzvah is only the Puruvu, so then you could say the chiddush of the Gemara is that even the preparatory stages, which are only Hechsher mitzvah, you also say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. So we'll see. I'm just getting your appetite wet a little bit, okay? I'm wetting your appetite here on these inyan. Okay, so that's the two parts of the mitzvah of the Mishnah. Bo u'bishlucho. Bo, to teach us mitzvah bo yosem u'bishlucho, and then the second is the shlichus aspect, is to tell you that shlichus works. And that's why it had to state both bo and shlucho. Because if you just would have said shlucho, then what? Then I would just know shlucho works. And I would think maybe shlucho is just as good as bo. So comes the Mishnah to teach us bo with shlucho, that preferably bo, and then if you don't do bo, the shlucho also works, but it's still on an inferior level. Okay, let's see Tosis. Hashter b'shlucho b'kaddish bo mibayi v'ein shayich l'tare tacha lav dafka v'ratzolomar lozu avzu. Do you ever come across this concept of lozu afsu? What does lozu afsu mean? Lozu afsu means it's a way of speaking. Whereas you say two things and you mean to say this and even this. Whereas I'm telling you two things. And in a harami, I could have said the second thing, because the second thing is a bigger chiddush. But that's a way of speaking, that ish mekadosh bo, and even b'shlucho. In a harami, there's no chiddush, but there's a way of speaking, lozu afsu, a way of articulating a statement, because you want to explain that shlichus is a chiddush. So by, in other words, maybe the chiddush is only in shlichus. Not like the Gemara says. Versus is the two chiddushim. One chiddush is mitzvah bo yosem yishlucho, and the second chiddush is a din in shlichus. Right? No, maybe that's not what the Gemara, maybe that's not what, Tosis is challenging the Gemara. Maybe that's not true. Maybe that's not what the Gemara wants to say. Maybe what the Gemara wants to tell us only, maybe the Mishnah only wants to teach us one chiddush of shlichus. But it wants to teach us that shlichus is a chiddush. So, but how does it teach us? But if we just say shlichus, I would think maybe that's pashut. By saying bo and even shlucho. So that shows you that what? That shlichus is a chiddush. But not to teach me that two chidushim. In other words, the Gemara says, if the Mishnah is here telling the teach you two chiddushim. One is that you could do it yourself, and that's the preferable way, that's one chiddush. And the other chiddush is that shlichus is chal. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Two Kiddushim. No, Tosis is asking maybe it's only one Kiddush. Namely what? That Shlichus works. That Shlichus works. But that's a Kiddush. So the Mishnah is saying not only Bo, but even Shlucho. Now, and the reason it's saying Bo is not to tell me there's a Kiddush in Bo, but to teach me that Shlucho is a Kiddush. So by how do you say it? In other words, you could just say shlichus works. But if you want to zero in to me to teach me that that's a chiddush that shlichus works, so you say that bo works and even shlucho works. But the whole point that you say that is to teach me the what? The even shlucho part. And that's the phraseology of lozu avzu. So that's Tosis Kashim. Who says there are two Chidushim in the Mishnah? Maybe there are only one Chiddush. In other words, so Tosis saying, how come the Gemara didn't say that? So Tosis starts off in a negative way.
The ain't Shaykh Lataritz Hacha Lav Dafka.
In other words, Lav Dafka means it's not trying to teach us two Chidushim. It's one Chiddush. Ratzalom Azo Lozo Avzo.
Tell
me what Tosis is answering. First, tell me what he's saying, and then explain it.
Two different
statements.
As opposed to what?
Two words.
What would be two statements?
Two statements would be a ratio and a seifa, I guess.
Say two. How would this have been two statements? Right. In other words, two statements would have been Aish Makadish Bo, Aish Makadish Bishlucho. One statement is the way it's written now. Aish Makadish Bo, Uvishlucho. Now, what's the difference if it's... So Tosa is saying you only say this concept of Lozu Afzu if it's two statements. If the Mishnah would have said Aish Makadish Bo, and then the Mishnah would have said Aish Makadish Bishlucho, then we could say the pshat is that it's one chiddush, but lo zu afzu. But if it's all in one phrase, just two words, ish mekadesh bo uvishlucho, then what? Then Tosis feels that you don't say the concept of lo zu afzu. Why? So it's a little perplexing. So some of the svarim, the Yisa Bracha and the Nachas Moshe, some of the svarim want to write like this, want to explain it this way. I don't know if it's compelling, but this is the only explanation I've seen of this Tosis. What's the chiluk between Shtei Bovos and Shtei Tevos? Because Lechora, it's a little strange whether, in other words, he wants to say like this, that when Rebbe was composing the Mishnah, so he heard different Divrei Torah from different Tanoim. And whenever he heard a Dvar Torah, he would write it down. So one day in the Beis Medrash, he heard Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo. Another day he heard Ha'ish Mekadesh B'Shlucho. Now, once he wrote it as a whole sentence, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo, so he he heard it a different time, Ha'ish Mekadesh B'Shlucho, he kept it the way he originally heard it. Since he originally wrote it down as one sentence, and now he heard another sentence, he kept it as two sentences. But if he would hear it, and his point was, why did he keep it as two sentences? To teach you this din, lozu avzu. But if he would hear it at once, he would write it as one sentence. So here, obviously, he heard it at once. So if he heard it at once, he says, so most probably, and therefore he wrote it as one sentence, Ish Mekadesh Bo V'Shlucho. So then, it must be that, in other words, you see, if he wrote it as two sentences, that means he probably heard it at two different times, and he just wrote it down, you know, what he wrote originally, and then he kept what he wrote originally and just added another sentence. So then you could say that there's no two chidushim. What he means to say to teach you is he originally knew the din of Ish Mekadesh Bo, that the way to do chidushim is the husband gives the ring. Now he's learning Ish Mekadesh B'Shlucho, and the point is that even this is good, but it's not as an added chidush in the bow. But if it's in one phrase, that means he must have heard it at one time. So if he heard it at one time, why is he taught two different things at this one time? So it probably is to teach you two different chidushim, namely the chidush of Bo, that there's a din of mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho, and the chidush of Shlichus. It's still not 100%, something you can think about, but that's what the Tosa says, that there's a chiluk between shtei bovis and shtei tevis. Okay. We also have to discuss that the Mishnah says that ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho, ish mekadeshes bo u'b'shlucho. Now, so if the two chidushim in the reisha of bo b'shlucho, what's the two chidushim of bo b'shlucho? That one is mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. What's the mitzvah? What? And that's the mitzvah what? Hechsher mitzvah peruvuse. Okay? And b'shlucho teaches shlichus work. So the question is, what about by the woman? By the woman, it also says Baal B'Shlucha. So that means by the woman also, there are two chidushim. Right? So what are the two chidushim? Mitzvah Baal Yosef B'Shlucha, and that Shlichus works. So the question is, but by woman, we're going to see the Ran's famous Kasha, a woman's not mitzvah in Perivya Rivya. It's only the man's mitzvah. It's not a woman's mitzvah. So then what's the mitzvah Baal Yosef B'Shlucha? You're not even mitzvah in it. See, by a man, if you're telling the whole reason that it has to bo u'b'shlucho to teach her both preferable, because mitzvah bo u'b'yosu b'shlucho, and then shlichus, so then what about by the woman? It says bo u'b'shlucho. So that means that the pasha is the same thing, to teach you that's mitzvah bo u'b'yosu b'shlucho, and to teach you shlichus works. But what's the preferable thing by the woman? That's the question. Because by a woman, there's not even peruvru. There's no chiyuv peruvru. Okay, so that Bez Hashem will continue tomorrow. Okay, Rebbe, we daven mincha here a couple of minutes. We'll daven mincha.